This is the Remote Podcast, and I'm your host, Victor Cohn. You're listening to episode 16. Hello, and welcome to the Remote Podcast, episode 16. This podcast is all about location independence, digital nomadism, and living life on your own terms. Each week, we interview a new guest on the show, and this week I sat down with Stephen Picanza from The Creative Hustler, who is on a mission to celebrate the creative entrepreneur lifestyle. I don't know where to even begin with this one. Stephen is the definition of the word entrepreneur. In addition to working on The Creative Hustler with his wife, Melissa, he also works with Melissa in a brand and marketing consulting agency called Latin and Code, and is the director of marketing for a digital design company called OpenEye Global, where he works with 8 other digital nomads living all over the world. So this week, we talk about creativity and how creative professionals can harness their creativity in the most effective way. Among many things, we talk about how important it is for creatives to focus on business and personal branding, the importance of knowing yourself and asking the tough questions so that you can be creative and make money, why investing in yourself is the most secure and stable thing you can do, and the best way to have control over your life, why you should set big life goals and then work your way backwards, and lastly, why you should always celebrate the small wins. Stephen also shares some great exercises that you can do right now to start answering the important questions that will kickstart your life. Without further ado, let's get started. Hey, Stephen, how are you doing?
Hey, Victor, good to be on here, man. How are you?
Really good. I'm very excited to interview you today to introduce you to my audience. Stephen Picanza is from The Creative Hustler, and he is on a mission to celebrate the creative entrepreneur lifestyle. So I guess to dive straight into it, why don't you tell us a little bit more about The Creative Hustler and what you mean by creative entrepreneur lifestyle?
Sure, absolutely. And I just wanted to, you know, what's up, guys? I'm Victor. I'm stoked to be able to be on your podcast. Hopefully I can add some value and, you know, really talk to your audience. But when I say creative entrepreneur lifestyle, there is this innate fire that we all have inside of us to be creative. It's what got us out of the jungles and into civilization. It's what continues to, you know, create some of the best masterpieces that are out there, from art and music to even the art and science of business. Everything is based on creativity. And so I feel that as we get so inundated with technology and we get so desensitized from some of these, you know, analog sensations that we used to have, going to the theater, seeing music, you know, actually writing something down, you know, we need to continue to celebrate that, and we need to continue to embrace that creativity that we all have. And so me just being who I am, you know, being from a musician to improv comedy for 10 years to, you know, now on my third business, I need to live at the intersection of business and creativity. And that's where The Creative Hustler is really meant to live and thrive and hopefully inspire a whole next generation of creatives out there.
Okay. And how do you hope to celebrate that? I know that one way you're doing is through the podcast, and you also have a website as well. Can you go into a little bit about how that fits into the Creative Hustler ecosystem?
Sure. You know, there's not one definition of a creative hustler, just like there's not, you know, there isn't a playbook that you can follow to become one. Us, by saying we want to celebrate the lifestyle, it's just by shedding a light onto it, you know, call it, you know, part journalism, call it part social media influencer, call it whatever the hell you want to call it. Really, it's about us talking to the most awesome people that we can via the podcast, via our blog, via some of the live events that we even put on or help produce. It's just trying to, you know, curate the most awesome people from around the world and find out how are they being successful. You know, everyone has a secret sauce, and I don't want to exploit anyone's secret sauce, but there's a little bit of knowledge that we can, you know, extract from everyone. And, you know, I really think it's by curating all of that, that's us celebrating. That's our position to give back to the community.
Yeah. And I think you really summarized it in a really nice way, because everyone kind of does things a little bit differently. And every time you talk to somebody, there's value to be gained. And that's one of the coolest things about being in such a creative industry. Can you actually, because I know already that you know, you work with your wife on several different projects, but can you share with my audience what is it that you do right now and what's like the day-to-day like?
Sure. It's twofold. While Victor, you're spot on. My wife and I, Melissa, we started a company a couple years ago called Latin Code, and we are basically brand and marketing consultants, and we go into companies that need some brand visioning as well as some, you know, digital strategy to help them get to their next level to align their KPIs with their sales goals. So we go in there as sort of a dynamic duo to help really transform these businesses. So that's more on the project base that we work with some brands here and there. I also am the director of marketing for an agency called OpenEye Global, and we are a digital experience design firm, which to your listeners is unique because you hear the term agency and you think cool office with ping pong tables and beer Friday. We're a collection of digital nomads. We don't have an office. We celebrate the fact that we don't have an office. We're in, I think, 8 different cities across the U.S. and into the U.K. We work with clients from around the globe, and it has become part of our culture that we are digital nomads and that we embrace this lifestyle. So those are our two kind of consulting clients. And then we obviously run The Creative Hustler, which is a podcast and a blog. And with that, I do some public speaking. I do a lot of writing for publications. And then I also own a SaaS software. It's a mobile app as well as a web app that we have out there that has kind of been a legacy project that I've had since about 2010 that continues to just kind of trug along. And, you know, so I'm struggling every day with balancing all these projects and balancing the lifestyle I want to live, because I don't want to have employees. I don't want to have an office. I want freedom. And so, you know, that's really, you know, what we talk about on the podcast and what we try to, in celebrating this lifestyle, we're practicing what we preach. We're trying to achieve balance every day by, you know, whether it's health, it's wealth, it's, you know, your mental health, all of that is so important. And, you know, every day is that opportunity to be better, and every day we have to work on it. And it's something that we're actively, you know, about, Melissa and I, and that's become the basis of who we are and what we do.
Yeah. And I really like the way that you kind of explained all of that, because that's really what we're all seeking. Like when we talk about digital nomadism, like from our previous conversations, you know, we kind of share the similar mindset that it's not about living in a backpack, hopping to different places. It's really more about seeking that desired lifestyle, and that comes through freedom. So I think this segues really nicely, because I want to really get a sense of how you started off on this journey, and when you kind of when you realized that you wanted to be able to pursue that life of freedom. You mentioned that you used to be a musician, you used to do improv for 10 years. So, you know, I really want to hand the mic off to you to begin telling your story.
Yeah, and what a story it is, Victor. So I'm originally from New York, and so throughout my whole upbringing, you know, I was surrounded just by the creative arts, by musicians, and upon moving to Southern California in the late 90s, I've really honed in on that, and it became more of a passion. It became me. I was a guitar player. I started bands, and you know, it was after I graduated high school that, you know, we recorded a couple CDs, and I was out getting us gigs. I was hustling. I was that guy for the band. And it's when I first had my first taste of business and my first taste of success. You know, here we are getting gigs, and you know, here we are winning a couple of awards and getting, you know, getting known in the industry. And, you know, just like with anything, the times change, and that band fizzled out, and I started doing improv, and I started doing a dinner theater show here in Southern California. And I got my first internship, because I was in college at the time. I got my first internship with a dinner theater show to do marketing. Basically, bro, I was on the streets hustling, talking to concierges, talking to radio station personnel, trying to get anyone I could into the show to write about the show. I mean, I'm talking influencer marketing in 2004, 2003, before social media was even really a thing. And that's what we were about. So I did that. And then, you know, at that point, you know, I was a professional musician and I was a professional actor. I used bunny ears on that one because, right, I was making a living, and it was a tough living, man. It was the toughest living I say that in jest. It wasn't the toughest living I ever made, but it was tough gigging out 4 to 5 nights a week and, you know, for 3 to 4 hours and lugging equipment around and, you know, living this opposite lifestyle as everyone else. And it was a fast life in a sense that, you know, you're out partying, you're out meeting people, and you can very much get sucked into that rabbit hole. But that wasn't for me. I will say that every part along, you know, every step along my journey, I've met people who have impacted my life in a positive way. And if it wasn't for that dinner theater show, I would never have met my first business partner. And with my first business partner, we started a podcast in 2007, 2008. We called it Online Radio, completely different concept. We started a little agency and we put together some really awesome brands. And within that agency, I mean, this is our first stint at business. You know, we mismanaged it. We didn't have the right wherewithal. Entrepreneurship wasn't as big as it is now. And it was just something that it was trial and error. It was the typical startup story. You know, iterate and repeat, iterate and repeat what works, what doesn't work, and throw shit against the wall. Was it going to stick? So within that time, we actually created a startup piece of software within the agency that we had. And it's actually the software that I still have today. But ultimately, we had to close those doors in 2012. It was the economy. It was so many other things. And in a six-month period, Victor, and I think this is going to be a great little bit for your audience. In a six-month period, my whole life fell apart. In 6 months, a relationship, a long-term relationship I had, just basically I got shoved off a cliff and that was over. So I was kind of bouncing around between living in my office, my parents' couch, and a spare bedroom whenever I could because I was out of my own. You know, I was just about to turn 30. I didn't know what the hell was going on. My business at the same time is failing. And just to add insult to injury, I got assaulted and stabbed in the neck by a homeless person with a Phillips head screwdriver. So as you can imagine, here I am at rock bottom and I had two choices to make. Number one, I can let the obstacle in front of me take over who I am and I can let that win, or I could kind of say, screw you, I'm going to go through the obstacle and I'm going to become better at this, at life. And that's really when the idea of the Creative Hustler really came to fruition. It came together out of part desperation and part just kind of creative writing and putting the pen to paper. And so at that point, I went back to work at an agency. You know, I knew what I was good at. I had the experience. I had the relationships. I went to work with a pretty big, large agency here in Southern California and had the time of my life on taking their agency to leveling them up, you know, helping them secure some amazing clients. I mean, some world-class talent, worked on some really awesome brand campaigns. And at some point, it became, you know, when you're in a 9-to-5 and you're constantly thinking about your exit strategy, you need to exit like sooner than later because you're not there and your heart's not into it. And so really within, I'd say about a month time period, Melissa was at an agency as well and I was at an agency. And then within a month, we both were not at agencies anymore. And it was at that exact moment where we looked at each other and we were only dating at the time. And we were like, you know what, man, it comes back down to freedom like we were just talking about. If we're going to be freedom and we want to this lifestyle that we talk about, we have to stop talking about it and just do it. And we started a consultancy. I always had consulting clients on the side. And after I wasn't with that agency anymore, I made a couple of phone calls. We had cash flow and we were off and running. And from there, it's really been a whirlwind to take it to where it is now. And I'm so grateful because the Creative Hustler was such an idea for so long. 6-7 years, I had this idea and it was manifesting in me. And it wasn't until I'd say the last four or five months that it's really that I've really put it out there and got the podcast and got it really going. So that is the condensed version, if you can believe it, of who I am and what I'm about.
Yeah, and we went through a lot of different things. And I've been scribbling furiously. Just kidding, I've been typing furiously. So one of the things that really stuck out to me is that, you know, this is going back in time a bit. When you were a musician and an actor, you mentioned how, you know, it was a really tough living. You're always hustling, but at the same time, you were doing creative things, right? Music and act and theater is inherently very, very creative. And right now you're also doing something that's very creative. You're running your own agency. You're helping your clients achieve their goals through digital strategy and digital design. But it seems like the big difference is that you're able to harness your creative talents right now. And at the same time, you're able to have the lifestyle that you want. And oftentimes in creative industries, especially with music and acting, this is something that's very difficult to do unless you're the top brass of musicians or actors. So I'm really wondering from your perspective, because we're talking about creative endeavors in general, are there certain creative jobs or creative industries that make it easier for you to live this desired lifestyle or to be compensated more equitably and fairly?
That's a brilliant question. I remember the day I was in college, my first major was a music major. And I remember the day hanging out with my guidance counselor, we were just chatting with the guidance counselor or whatever, and it dawned on me that I'd graduate with a music degree and I'd work at Starbucks. Like, you're not guaranteed anything with a college degree, really, in any field, but especially music, right? You have a music degree. You have two choices, right? You become a band director or you become a struggling-ass musician, because I was not at the top of my game. And I had to make a conscious decision at that point. Do I try to study music and sort of be miserable because that natural talent isn't there? Or do I make it a hobby and pursue really what I think I'm good at, where I'm able to make money, and that's business? And so there was that decision that I had to make on, hey, my creative endeavors, i.e. my music and even some, you know, comedy, whatever the hell it is, it's going to go on the back burner. It's going to stay a hobby. And I'm going to approach business the same way I would approach playing. It's getting into a groove. It's getting into a mindset. In as a musician, we always talk about, you know, getting in the pocket with other musicians. When we're jiving, if we're jamming out on something and we're in the pocket, I can almost anticipate what you're going to do, and you can almost anticipate what I'm going to do. And in business, it's the same thing. We need to get in these grooves. We need to get in this mindset where, you know, if you're a developer, you call it in the code, or if you're, you know, whatever it is, you know, the whole idea of the maker schedule. You know, it makes it easier for me. Because I'm solving a problem with my clients, and I'm solving a problem just in general. Whereas to me, that's more exciting sometimes than just playing a gig. You know, playing a gig is so exciting, and I love it. I love the sensation of being on stage. But afterwards, I'm just some schmuck at a bar having a drink. Whereas if I'm working with a client, or I'm giving a speech, or I'm impacting people in a more business or inspirational way, I see more of an ROI. I see more of an impact with that. So to me, that was my deciding point. And to kind of bring it back around to your question, because I don't think I answered it at all, you know, we all have to utilize our creativity every day. And no matter what field you're in, no matter how dry of a field it is. And I think it's just about understanding that and realizing that. And to me, that's all I'm trying to do here. Just make other people realize that you could still do what you want to do and make a great living. But for me, I want a little more. I want the ability to travel. I don't want to be gigging out 4 or 5 nights a week. It's a grind. So I decided that business and living at the intersection of creativity and business is where I need to be.
Okay. No, and I think you tackled that question well, because it's a very amorphous question. And it almost leads itself to the question, what is creativity? And that's kind of something I want to get into, because, you know, a lot of people who are into things like music and theater, you know, if you suggest something like, you know, why don't you go into business or whatever, they'd probably outright reject that notion. They might scoff at you, because it's like, there's, in a lot of ways, people look at the more, I guess, traditional industries, they would call it, like business or sales, they would consider that to be less creative.
And I'm just going to say, I'm just going to call bullshit on that one. Listen, to the musicians out there, and I deal with a ton of musicians, I deal with a ton of people who are like super creative, and their biggest downfall is they don't understand the need and value to understand business concepts and to understand sales concepts. You're selling yourself every day, whether you're a musician or a sales guy for a company or in between. We're all selling ourselves. Victor, you had to sell yourself to me just as much as I have to sell myself to your audience right now. And we just understand that. And I hate people. I'm going to take that back. I don't hate people. But like, I have a hard time sympathizing with people who automatically put up the guard. Oh, I'm not good at sales. I'm just not good at sales. But you are. Every day every day you have to be good at sales, because you have to get your point across and your opinion across, and you have to make quality conversations. And when you're building a relationship with someone, in a sense, you're selling yourself to that person, whether it's a love interest that you're trying to close or if it's a deal you're trying to bring in the door. So I feel that especially within the creative art and especially within the creative realm, and you could be a designer and you could be a developer or you could be a travel writer or whomever, personal branding and understanding that you are a business has to be number one. Great example of a story. When I was at an agency, I've always taken the role on, you know, I'd either work on strategy for brand, I'd either work on brand strategy, but I mainly love the agency strategy, so business strategy. And that is totally part business development, part marketing strategy, kind of all encompassing. But I would position it as my only client was the agency. So I put out this big poster in the office one day and I said, you know, agency XYZ's most important client, dot, 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 is agency XYZ, right? Not our marquee client that's paying us $2 million a year and not that client that's paying us, you know, $800,000 a year, right? They are great cash flow. Yes, they are our big clients. But if we don't take care of ourselves first and understand what we're doing and why we're doing what we're doing, we cannot service our clients better. We cannot grow as an agency. And, you know, I don't necessarily think that a lot of agencies get that. And it's the same thing with anything within the creative. You have to service yourself first. You have to know why you're doing what you're doing, and you have to understand your unique position within the industry and realize, yep, you're a salesman, and yep, you are a brand. So the sooner you can get and understand that and move on with your life, the more successful you're going to be.
Okay. And I think it's super interesting because essentially what you're bringing up right now is the question of self-awareness. And this is something that's been popping up in a lot of recent interviews that I've done, especially in the shape and form of like trying to first figure out what your purpose is, what your passion is, like what your goals are before actually taking action. Like a lot of other digital nomads say that it's like the thing that you have to figure out first, like understanding, really listening to that voice in your head that, you know, perhaps because of society, because of all the day-to-day things that you're inundated with, you kind of put on the back burner and you don't pay attention to. But I think you're approaching it in a slightly different way from how I traditionally like hear people talk about it. So I'm particularly interested on your take on how creatives really need to be aware of themselves and understanding that I think what you're getting at is that their creativity has to be kind of pushed towards one direction. It can't just be like, oh, hey, I'm a creative, and it's just like a very amorphous like blob. It's like, I like to do art. I like to do all kinds of different things, but there's really no focus in that. They really need to harness their creativity in a certain direction for them to be able to use it.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to make money being creative, you need to know what kind of creative that you are. You know, it's not as easy as to say I'm a creative and great. Well, how do you make money? What do you do? Are you a painter? Are you, you know, whatever it is, are you a designer? Are you a graphic designer? Great, you're a graphic designer. What kind of graphic designer are you? Like, tell me who you want to work with. I was working last night with a gentleman. He was over and we were going through sort of a personal branding exercise. And, you know, it's like one of those questions is like, when you die, what do you want your legacy to be? Do you just want to say he was a creative? No, Leonardo da Vinci wasn't just a creative. He did shit and he's got stuff written down and it's documented. He knew what he was about and we all have that opportunity. And if you want to make a living doing this, I'm not talking about being a struggling musician or a struggling creative or just like a struggling nomad. I mean, if you want more, it behooves you to spend the time on yourself. I mean, that's why Socrates said it. The unexamined life is not worth living. You have to know thyself. And you can't know anyone else or be of value to anyone else if you don't first know what the value you are to yourself. Because in the end, this is all we have, is our name and our word as a human being. And we need to cherish that at all costs. And, you know, approaching it I had a mentor. And he always said, if you do things the same way as everyone else, you're always going to get the same result. But if you do things a little bit differently, you're going to get a different result. And it's so true because I see it. So many people want to live this lifestyle and so many people want to be creative or have the freedom, and it's their ego that gets in the way. And I think it's the same thing with musicians. It's the same thing with creatives. You know, oh, I'm a musician. Why do I need to know business? Why? Because you're just going to be playing at, you know, Olive Garden every Friday night as a musician if you don't. You know what I mean? Like, you need to understand that the world doesn't revolve around you, that you need to, you know, acclimate to your surroundings, play to your audience, and put your best self forward at all times. Then the question almost pops up of like, why wouldn't you do that? Like, why, like, is it like, I'm so curious to people on why don't you value who you are as a person or your personal brand? And that can be as simple as like, bro, fix your business card, fix your LinkedIn profile, fix some of these things that people are looking at you and they are putting, you know, they are making judgments based on, and it's unfortunate, it's just the way the society works. They're making judgments based on some of those outputs that you're putting out there. So do a better job and let me show you how.
Yeah, and that's so true. Because that's one of the things that I try and focus on a lot. Because I noticed like a lot of people who I've been working with through freelancing, or a lot of people I've been encountering in recent years, you know, they're like, oh, I've been doing this so-and-so for like 10, 15 years. And then I like, my first inclination, I guess, as a millennial is to check out their website or check out their social media. And then oftentimes I would go on and I'd be like, wow, you have a 10 years of experience. I don't see that. But I think that's very interesting. So I want to take the conversation in the direction of personal branding. But before I do that, I want to ask you, why do you think some people overlook personal branding and the need to really think of themselves as a business or a brand? What kind of gets lost in translation, especially from the creative aspect? Is it because they want their work to speak for themselves and not to, I guess, shamelessly self-promote? That's a way that I've heard it being said before.
Yeah, I think it's always the last thing on everyone's totem pole. You need to hone your craft. And I think we've learned, society has told us for so long that, you know, you need to hone in on your craft. You need to study. You need to study. You need to study. You need to be a better designer. And there wasn't enough focus on the individual. And maybe that wasn't a clear way of articulating. Let me try it again. I feel like there comes a time in everyone's life when we grow up. And you know, for some people, that's 18 years old. For some people, that's 15 years old. For some people, that's 30 years old. And when I say grow up, it's like the light bulb finally switches on and you kind of get it. And, you know, I'm all about helping people understand, you know, what it is. You know, we always say there's two types of people in the world, right, Victor? There are those who get it and there are those who don't. And if you have to ask me what it is, you don't get it. But I think that emphasis has just not been there for so long because everyone was just running a rat race and nobody, entrepreneurship wasn't as big of a phenomenon or as big as a thing as it is now. You know, back in the 80s and the 70s and the 60s, you worked for a company and you became, you know, I'm Stephen with, you know, Ernst & Young, or I'm Stephen with so-and-so. It became part of who I was. I didn't have a unique position. I was just an accountant at this big firm. And I worked for 40 years. I got my pension and I'm out. And everyone worked for that day of retirement. And I'm not working for retirement. And I know a lot of people who aren't. Well, like, why? No, like, I'm going to build who I am now because I am the only thing that's scalable. I am the only thing that is secure. I mean, there are no secure jobs anymore. You know, everyone basically works in an at-will company. If you work for somebody else, you can get fired at any moment for anything and be out on your ass. So why not put the emphasis back into yourself? Become a better person, build your concrete foundation, and build your fucking skyscraper from there. Otherwise, you're on everyone else's agenda and you have no control over your life. So I think that last word is what it comes down to. We need to take back control of our lives, and that starts with our personal brand and it starts back with our name.
See, sounds like a good slogan. Take back your life. Take back your life.
That is a good saying.
We're going to take our country back.
No, right. No, absolutely. If you think about it, though, Victor, it's like, I mean, you've done a great job of building your personal brand. And I think so many millennials have done a great job on the surface building your personal brand, you know, and I don't just mean social and I don't just mean digital. I mean, building your personal brand's got to be all encompassing. You need to know how to shake someone's hand, look someone in the eyes. You need to understand that cultural differences are going to play a part in your personal brand because you need to play to your audience, your appearance. You need to not show up in a meeting in flip-flops if everyone else has a suit. Little things like that, you know, everything from, you know, how you talk about yourself, you know, when somebody asks you, what do? You know how to articulate that. I think that's the hardest thing with creative hustlers. If somebody says, what do? You have 5 minutes? Like, let me explain to you what I do. Like, you asked me, what do? I'm like, fuck, I do so many different things. So if you are not aware of that and you're just, and you don't understand how to articulate and communicate that, how is anyone going to take you seriously? How are you going to continue to grow your business? How is your name going to continue to flourish?
No, I couldn't agree more, because whenever you meet somebody and then, you know, you kind of ask them, like, I never ask them, what do you do? Because that's, I think that's a contrived question. But when you ask them questions about themselves and they're just stumbling left and right, like the basic, how it reflects on themselves is that they don't know themselves. And that's like a serious issue, because if you don't have the understanding of yourself, if you can't answer rudimentary questions about yourself, then what are you doing? What are you doing with your life?
Even better, I mean, just taking a page out of Simon Sinek, you know, it's why are you doing what you're doing? Everyone knows I'm a graphic designer. I'm a brand strategist. I'm this, I'm that. Great. Why are you that? And I'm sure you're familiar with The Power of Why from Simon Sinek, right?
I've heard of it, yes.
Yeah, definitely. I recommend checking out. But the whole idea is people don't buy what you do. They buy why you do what you do. That's why Apple is so successful. Apple's so successful because they buy this idea of anything is possible. They buy this idea of beautiful design. They're not just buying another computer. Same thing that we can ask ourselves, you know? And I think that we need to examine our lives and figure out why do we do what we do. I love to build creative projects and I love to empower people. That is why I do what I do. What do? I can do a million different things to achieve that goal. You know, I can stand on a soapbox and do an hour-long speech, or I could do a podcast. The tactic doesn't matter. Everyone is just so focused on tactics. Tactics don't matter. It's what the strategies matter, because the tactics need to support the strategy. It becomes, I mean, you think about it as in building a house, or, you know, building an ancient Greek temple. You know, let's just take ancient Greek temple. They have all these columns, you know, let's just say 10 columns. Those are your tactics, because it's supporting up your roof. The roof is the part that's talking to the gods. That's your strategy. If you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, you could spin your wheels all day doing whatever the hell you're doing. But if you're not supporting your bigger strategy as your life strategy, what's the point then? What's the point in all this work? Just go get a job with supporting, making somebody else's dreams come true, because you're not putting the emphasis or time into yourself.
Okay. No, that totally makes sense. And going back to The Power of Why, there was a TED Talk about that, right?
Yeah.
I think I saw a video where he talked about Apple and how they kind of brand themselves. And we've been talking quite a bit about why it's important to brand yourself and to be aware of yourself. I want to kind of direct the conversation to actionable things that people can be doing right now to get that clarity, to really harness their creativity in a way that's a lot more impactful for their lives. Because we already defined the fact that, you know, just creativity shooting in all different directions isn't creativity that's being used well. So what are some things that creatives can be doing right now to really shed some light on what they should be really focusing on?
I think first and foremost is just asking yourself that powerful question. And I think I said it earlier, but like, when you die, how do you want to be remembered? In all seriousness, some of these morbid questions, or some of these questions that we need to ask ourselves pretty frequently when we examine our lives, they actually help you in such a positive way. So I think creatives, and I think for your listeners out there, it's do this. Take a day off, go to the mountains with a notebook, or go to the beach with a notebook, whatever, and ask yourself a series of questions, internalize these questions. What is it that you really want to do in this world? You know, what a kind of mark or legacy do you want to leave behind? You know, really try to get down to the core of why are you on this journey? Of course, ask yourself what that end goal is. What is that end goal? Is that end goal $1 million a year? Is that end goal freedom? Is that end goal a recording contract? What is that end goal? Work backwards from that end goal. How are we going to achieve that goal? Because I think everyone has these ideas. And as creatives, we're just full of ideas. Everyone's got ideas for days, but nobody's got the execution plan to make those ideas a reality. So write down those ideas, but now we have to work backwards. What are those steps that's going to get you there? Number one is figure out why is that important to you. So we need to figure that out. And number two, it's putting small actionable steps in place so you can achieve those goals, and understand that it takes time. It takes time. You know, you're not going to get it on the first shot, whatever goal you set for yourself. You're not going to get it on your first shot, and you're going to go one step forward and two steps back sometimes, and you're going to do some side steps. You're going to get punched in the mouth or stabbed in the neck or whatever the hell is going to happen to you. And I think you just have to understand that it doesn't matter what happens to you. It's how you react to what happens to you. So when you know, you're out there on that beach and you're taking that day off, you got to remember that, and you need to write that down, that it's not about you and it's not about what happens to you, but how do you come back from what happens to you? Then I think you're able to start making some real progress forward to understanding how you're going to be able to, you know, achieve that goal.
And first things first, I hope that none of the listeners actually go out and get stabbed in the neck.
No. Leave that to me.
Steven's already gone through that. He can tell you exactly how it feels. Oh my God. But I love the way you put it, because, you know, a lot of these questions that you've asked were questions that I've been taught to ask as well. So I kind of want to dive into what we talked about in the last few minutes in a lot more depth. So the first question really is asking yourself how you want to be remembered. What's your real purpose? What do you want to do in this world? What's the legacy you want to leave? And the purpose of that, to your point, is to really figure out what that end goal is. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a very specific thing, but I think it's helpful to think about it more as, like, I always use this analogy where it's like, if you're thinking about your life, like if you think about it, you're like a little dot, and then you look into the future. Like as you go into the future, it's almost like a triangle that's like opening up. You can kind of see the near future, like there are less sets of possibilities, but as you go further out into the future, it really opens up and there's like a larger and larger set of possibilities. And I think by really defining that question, what's your end goal, that'll really help people set off on a direction.
And you could have multiple end goals. You can don't just have to have one end goal. You could have for multiple facets of your business, of your personal life, of your family life. Goals are so important. Otherwise, we don't know where we're going.
Right. And then being able to work your way backwards enables you to kind of figure out, okay, if I want to go in this direction, at the very least, I need to start taking the first step in this direction. And I think that's super important. You also mentioned how it's very important to break things down into small actionable steps, because I think one of the biggest traps people fall into is that they kind of just look at it as an all or nothing, like hitting that big prize, that trophy at the end, and they forget to celebrate the small wins along the way. And if they don't hit that grand prize, they assume that it's really a waste of time, a failure. And it can really make the whole process seem daunting. What are your thoughts on that?
I love what you just said. I love how we have to celebrate the small wins. It's something that, you know, I instill with businesses that I consult. You know, we're going in there and, you know, there's a daunting big, you know, the year-long rebranding project I'm working on. That's a daunting ass task. That's, you know, it's going to be discouraging for the employees because there's going to be a lot of pull. There's going to be a lot of ask from them. There's going to be a lot of, you know, uphill hard conversations that need to be had. So in going in there, and one of the first things that I would always say is we need to start celebrating the small wins. The little things that we can boost morale is going to make such the world of difference. And in the creative hustler landscape, we talk about celebrating the creative entrepreneur lifestyle because of those small wins. Those little wins compounded over time are monumental. So what is that? The journey of 1,000 steps, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step, right? There's that famous quote, but like how true is that? I just heard this great analogy yesterday that somebody asked Jerry Seinfeld, you know, how do you write jokes? You know, how is it that you're able to write such great jokes? He said, consistency. He said, I do this. I take out a calendar and I say that every morning I need to write jokes for 1 hour on a yellow legal pad with my Bic pen. He goes, I have my routine and every day I do that. And on the calendar, I do a big red X over the date. And he goes, the trick is to do it the next day. And then the day after that, you have to look at those two red X's and realize you just started a chain. Don't break the chain. It's consistency. That is the goal right there. That's the key.
Yeah, and I think that's great because we touch on two things. And I want to get into both. The first thing is setting small goals. And the second one is habit building through continuous action. I think both are really important. So I'll start off with the concept of breaking things into small wins, small goals. And the reason I think that a lot of people have trouble with this is because when you're growing up, right, your goals are defined for you, right? You have a grade for a class. You have, when you're in high school, you're presumably you're trying to get into college. You have a standardized test you have to take. When you're in college, you have classes, you have people give you grades, points on your assignments, whatnot. And then your goal from there on out is to get a good first job. And then maybe when you get into your first job, you also have some type of mechanism that they measure how you perform. But this is when a lot of people start realizing that they're unhappy. It's like, oh, cool, I'm doing well in my job, but I'm miserable. Then, and it almost, they have to go through this process of self-awareness where they really have to learn how to define their long-term goal, break that into little steps, and to evaluate themselves, whether or not they hit their goals on that. And I think that's so difficult for people because you're trying to unlearn what has really been an accumulation of bad habits. So what would you say to people? How can they really, one thing is setting your, you know, your long-term goal, but how do you break that down to smaller bits? And how do you, one, hold yourself accountable, and two, give yourself the responsibility to say, hey, I hit my goal, or no, I didn't. And to really be responsible for your life.
So much of that just comes down to ego. I feel like we have such ego. Everyone, if you are a doctor and you went through 10 years of medical school and you have $200,000 in student loans, your ego is going to tell you that, hey, you know, you're a doctor now. You know, what do you mean you want to open a florist or a floral shop or whatever? You know what I mean? Like, it's, I think the ego gets in the way. And there's a great book by Ryan Holiday called Ego is the Enemy. And I subscribe to that notion 100% because it's our ego that's going to prohibit you from, you know, taking those steps to better yourself. And, you know, I write shit down on a notebook and I have my hustle list and I send out a Sunday hustle list to, you know, anyone who wants to read it on my list. And it's usually my intentions for the week. And I'm humble about it. I throw it out there. Some weeks it sucks and some weeks it's better. And some weeks I achieve my goal and some weeks I'm spinning my wheels. And I think the whole idea is, I don't know if you see the poster behind me, but every day is that chance to be better. And every day we have that new, that sun is going to rise and you now have another opportunity to consciously say, I have these 10 things on my to-do list that I determined is going to help me get better. I just have to do it. If not now, then when? If not me, then who? And it's a personal thing. If you don't have that mental capacity or that fortitude to do it, then you're not going to do it. And if you keep believing that bullshit story that you're telling yourself on why you can't do it, guess what? You're not going to do it. But if you have that, you know, there's a big difference between that word passion and purpose. And I'm very much over the word passion because you could have all the passion in the world, but doesn't mean that you have the purpose to make that passion come true, right? And so if you have that purpose inside you and you know if you do or you don't, and you're not just making those steps happen and little steps go a long way when creating these habits, you're doing yourself a disservice. So I wish there was a magic formula or a pill. You got to put in the work. You got to put in the work. Like, there's no other way about it. There is no get-rich-quick scheme. And those bullshit artists that you see on Facebook promoting, you know, this whole lifestyle and fast cars and money, that's not true. It's just not true, man. You got to put in the work and you got to find the work that works for you.
And this is a perfect segue into habits because what I've learned in the past year is that motivation only takes you so far. Motivation is like what you mentioned, passion. You can have all the passion in the world, but if you don't take repeatable action, and you mentioned, you know, you do it just because you know you have to do it, just something to do. Like, you have to go after your goals every day. And you mentioned Jerry Seinfeld said that as well. You just do it. You don't break the chain. And it's like, I think about it like motivation plus repeatable action equals strong, lasting habits that are the foundations to your success. So I want to get your take on habits and why they're so important, how they play into everything we've talked about so far.
I mean, I wish I was better at some of these habits that I try to instill. And, you know, it's little habits like flossing every day or going to the gym or, you know, just trying to be active. But, you know, larger habits like, you know, some of these lifelong habits that I'm really working hard to put into my life, like reading every day and writing every day. It comes down to that decision. It's that personal decision that, like, I want to better my life. And in order to better my life, I have to do these things repeatedly. And if you can get over that hump and just do it again, like a freaking broken record, you know, that's where the success is going to lie. I think where you're going to get hurt is we mentioned celebrating the small wins. Now here's when it gets difficult. You're creating a habit. You celebrate those small wins. The hard part is to not let those little celebrations derail your forward progress. Perfect example, I went to the gym for a week straight. Awesome. I'm going to celebrate a small win. I'm not going to go to the gym tomorrow. I'm going to go to brunch with my friends. Great. I go to brunch. I get shit-faced. Awesome. I wake up the next day hungover. I don't go to the gym again. And now I've broken that chain for 2 days in a row. So we have to, there's a balance that you have to strike between, and the magic word here is discipline. There's got to be a discipline that we have that to say, great, I am laser focused on my goal. I am laser focused on achieving what I set out to achieve. I'm going to celebrate along the way, but that is not stopping me from getting my ass back on that track and continuing what I'm doing. I think another example is being a digital nomad and being a creative hustler. I mean, Melissa and I, we work hard, we play hard, we travel around the world while working. We have an amazing time doing it. How easy would it be to just kind of fall off and not work while traveling? Very easy. It's almost too accessible because it's exciting. You're in a different culture. You're in a different land. There's time differences. You know, there's so much going on. It becomes very easy. So once again, that discipline has to come back and say, no. We are consistently working towards a larger goal than just traveling around for 6 weeks. We're going to have the discipline to say, no. No more party today. Stop drinking. Whatever it is we need to do, we need to work. And we need to work awesome for the next 5 hours and bang a bunch of shit out. And then we can go back to doing what we're doing. But it's that discipline that is going to be the deciding factor in so many people.
Right. And this reminds me of a quote that I forgot whose quote it was, but it said something like, the difference between successful people and non-successful people is that successful people, like they don't like doing the things that non-successful people don't want to do, but they just go ahead and do it anyways. So the question I want to ask is, you know, we talked about habits and how habits are important to success, but why in particular? Why are habits crucial?
I think because if you get in the groove of it's something psychological. I mean, you do the right thing over and over again. I think it kind of becomes ingrained in you that, you know, this is what I have. It's just part of me, like breathing. Why is, you know, breathing? Or, you know, man, the funny thing about habits is it's so easy to think you're doing a good habit, but you're actually doing a bad habit. And I think a lot of people mistake positive habits and bad habits because there is such a fine line. But why are habits important? And I'm struggling to answer here because I don't have that answer. They just are, man. They just are. It's why does Zuckerberg wear the same thing every day? It's one less decision he has to make. It's ingrained in him. It's ingrained in his psyche. It's one less decision, and it's 5 minutes extra that I can spend on something else because I have a system and a process worked out. So maybe there it is. Maybe that's where the answer lies. We talk about processes in marketing. We talk about processes in branding and business. Business is built on processes and systems, which essentially are just habits, just very much laid out a little bit differently. So I think it's along those same lines. As human beings, we crave the systematic approach to certain aspects of life. And I think when we can understand that, you know, I wake up in the morning and I flush my teeth because X, Y, and Z, and it's just what I do. It just becomes part of it. It becomes the second nature. And if you can just fill if your whole second nature can be filled with positive habits that progress you forward, you are a machine. You're unstoppable. You become the best version of yourself.
Yeah, and I think you hit it on the money there. You hit the jackpot because it also ties into breaking things into small steps. For example, if one of your goals is to be healthy, if you can make good habits, so there's, you mentioned good and bad habits, right? Eradicating the bad habits, maybe that sweet tooth that you have, and you have to have dessert every day, and you replace it with something like going to the gym every day, and you get to the point where you wake up, you just go to the gym. Whether you feel good, you feel bad, doesn't matter. You just do it because it's part.
That's what I do, yeah.
And that almost, that really ties a knot to what we're talking about that self-awareness, about really setting your own goals, like working backwards. If part of your end goal is to really have like a healthy lifestyle where you're active, you're able to travel everywhere, one of those things could be personal fitness and staying healthy. And one of your smaller goals would then just to be to go to the gym, and you would want to build that into a habit.
Going to the gym is a tactic to the longer strategy. Like we were saying earlier, the strategy is I want to be healthier and live a healthy lifestyle. How do I do that? I got to fill it with tactics, eating right, drinking a lot of water, going to the gym. Those little habits that you form support that larger strategy. I think we're onto something.
Yeah, and I think we definitely are onto something, because what I'm seeing based on this whole conversation about, it started out with talking about how do we harness creativity. And it's really become the idea that you as a person, you have to create a system for yourself, a structure that can best harness your own talents, whether that's figuring out your, and we talked about the scaffolding for that to really be what's your purpose, what's your end goal, and kind of working your way backwards. And then, you know, you have a starting point and an ending point, and you really have to piece together that the entire structure from start to finish. How are you going to get from here to there? And that could be through a bunch of different strategies, like you mentioned, like going to the gym or whatever. And you're just really piecing together that puzzle. And I think, in a sense, to me, that seems creative as well. The whole process of
figuring out your own personal blueprint,
because that's totally unique to each person,
like our DNA.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's great, and I think this is a topic that can be discussed for forever, really. And people have been talking about it from ancient Greek times to now.
It's so relevant, like you just said, you know, from antiquity to modern day. And it's one of those things. This is, you know, we're recording this. It's now the end of near the holidays. Usually around this time, I kind of lock myself in an office or I go somewhere and I audit myself. I audit my life for the past year. So, you know, I try to do it weekly. Sometimes I don't do it. Sometimes even daily, but like at least. What happened that was great this year? And I ask myself, you know, what did I do right this year? What did I do wrong this year? How can I improve this year? You know, how can I better set myself up? Because, you know, January 1st is going to come around. It's an arbitrary day for some people. To other people, it means the world to them. But, you know, for me, it's just, okay, great. We have a couple of new numbers now in our date system. How can I leverage this to make another change in my life and become better next year? And I mean, it's something to all your listeners out there, no matter what your profession is, we're all trying to achieve the best version of ourselves that we can. And in order to do that, we need to have a blueprint and we need to have those guiding principles that we believe in, because we need to draw our line in the sand and say, you know, there are certain things I believe in and there are certain things I don't believe in, and I'm not going to waver on that. The shiny, bright new object syndrome doesn't work on me. I know who I am.
Okay, that's perfect. And we're hitting the hour mark, so I want to ask you the final three questions, and I'll serve it all to you at once. The first question is, what are you, like, looking back on 2016, what are you the most proud of? What are you the most satisfied with? The second thing is, looking ahead to 2017, what are you the most excited for? And then the third question, just to make things more confusing for you, how can people follow the Creative Hustler? How can people follow you and learn more about everything you're talking about?
Sure. Number one, 2016 has been amazing in the sense that I finally got to launch the Creative Hustler after being an idea for years, man. So, I mean, I debuted it, I think, at a speech in Arizona in 2012. And even before that, I think I was published on HubSpot in 2011 talking about the Creative Hustler. So now fast forward to, you know, 2016 to be able to launch it and actually have some momentum for it. I'm so grateful for that and to be able to have the opportunity to continue with it. So that's what I'm really proud of in 2016. Obviously, the brands that I've launched, really everything I try to do, I want to be proud of. 2017 is gearing up to be an incredible year. Number one, continuing with everything that the Creative Hustler is doing, from the podcast to more speaking engagements to hopefully a couple of products. I'm launching a t-shirt line called Create Local, Work Global, which is really just really about the idea of, no matter where you are around the world, do the best that you can in the moment. And that's actually with a couple guys who I work with from the agency OpenEye Global. And it's something that we've been teetering with for a couple months now. So I'm really excited about that. And I'm really just excited about meeting awesome people like yourself and continuing just to try to add value where I can and try to, you know, continue to carve out my niche. So how can you get in touch with me? That's the $1 million loaded question. It's very simple, though. Me personally, I love Twitter. So find me on Twitter at Picanza. That's PICANZA, my last name. And then for the Creative Hustler, You can check out thecreativehustler.com. And then you could also find us on Instagram at thecreativehustler. And we're on all the major social networks. Basically, go into your Google and type in The Creative Hustler. And hopefully everything you ever need to know is going to be right there. Yeah. And then you could also, I mean, if you're on LinkedIn, I definitely utilize LinkedIn for my professional circle. So just search me under Steven Picanza. I think the good thing here, Victor, is I have a pretty unique name, not too many Picanzas around the world. So I think I rank number one when you type it in.
Goes back to personal branding.
Goes right back to personal branding. Try to get great content to the top of Google. Leave all the bad stuff below.
And you also have your podcast, The Creative Hustler. And I wanted to point this out, give it a shout out, because the cool thing about your podcast is that you really dive into like things like how do creatives structure their workday, like really specific things that creatives do. I mean, my podcast is more focused on the story of how people got to where they are today. And your podcast is really focused on the specific things that people do day to day. And it really ties in well with the things we've been talking about, such as like habits, goal setting. And I think for anyone who wants to hear more about things like that, definitely check out The Creative Hustler. You guys are on iTunes, and I'm assuming you're on all the other major platforms.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah, we're all over there.
Yeah, so if you just go to thecreativehustler.com, they have the link to it on the website.
And you can listen to it from the website as well. And I appreciate, you know, the kind words. You know, funny story, and this will be the last thing I say, I'm a storyteller, but in June, I got the opportunity to do a speech at a conference in Europe called New Media Europe, and I did a speech called The Creative Hustler Manifesto, and there was a lot of podcasters there, a lot of amazing podcasters were there out of the European scene. So it was on the ride back, you know, Melissa and I were on an airplane, and we were 30,000 feet in the air, and we had no Wi-Fi, we had no in-seat entertainment, and we kind of looked at each other, and we're like, I think we need to start a podcast, because this is epic, the fact that, like, what do we do for the next 8.5 hours? Like, what did everyone else do? And I was kind of looking around, and, you know, who's reading, who's getting annoyed, who's not using that time constructively, because it is, you know, you're in an airplane, and you can utilize that time into many different, you know, ways, and literally, we came up with the whole idea for the podcast and the strategy for the podcast on that ride back. And it's really meant to incite, you know, how to creative hustlers around the world stay balanced. And part of staying balanced is, what are those tools and tricks and habits that you use personally for your own personal blueprint to be successful? Because it's going to be different from everyone else. And that could be as detail oriented as like what pieces of software do you use? What kind of suitcase do you use, to something like, how has traveling for the past 7 months impacted you as an entrepreneur? So we really just want to try to get different perspectives. So yeah, to all your listeners out there, I'd be honored if you took a listen. And yeah, that's all I got.
And one more thing, because your podcast structured really in a really cool way, because you not only have, you separate it into like the interviews with people, and then you also have a recap episode where you actually unpack everything you talked about. So I think, to me, that's actually the first podcast where I've actually noticed that people actually taking the time to kind of unpack those topics that were discussed. So that's another interesting tidbit. But, you know, for now, I just want to really thank you for hopping on the podcast. I've learned a ton. And I think towards the very end, we really got to something when it comes to harnessing creativity. So
Victor, thanks for the opportunity. I had a blast. So looking forward to doing it again soon.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have you on maybe next year so you can do a recap on 2017.
That's great. All right, take care, guys.
If you're looking to get started building your personal brand, download the Creative Hustler Personal Branding Blueprint. It contains quick, actionable, daily reminders on how to continuously build your personal brand. You can access it at bit.ly/creativehustlerbranding. That's bit.ly/creativehustlerbranding. And that's a wrap for my interview with Steven. If you want to find out more about Steven and his adventures, along with everything we talked about, visit theremotelifestyle.com/16. There you'll find the show notes for this week's episode. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Remote Podcast. Be sure to leave a review of the show so that I can continue to improve it. If you liked what you heard, go ahead and hit subscribe so you never miss out on an episode. That's all from me today, and I'll see you in the next episode.